The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We certainly hope that the new president will treat the Coptic Christians in Egypt as equal citizens.
It is a joy for me to bring you the Holy Father's appreciation for your response to the call of the Bishop of the United States in this fortnight for freedom.
We're here as Catholic citizens to say that the bishops don't speak for us politically.
And I know dispensations don't want to see this happen, but the practical consequences, everybody's watching the signs of the times and just kind of missing that the central character in all of Scripture is Jesus Christ, his person and work.
Seminarians on vicarage in Indiana love issues, etc.
Well, they started on the 21st of June, and they're scheduled to run through the 4th of July, apropos of the calendar of Independence Day. The Fortnight for Freedom rallies are being called acts of civil disobedience. As of August 1st, if the schedule proceeds as it's been announced, the HHS mandate that would require religious institutions to pay for contraception through their health care providers will go into effect, and then we're talking real civil disobedience. And the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church and their allies in American Christianity do not seem interested in backing down on this issue. There's a line drawn in the sand. The Fortnight for Freedom rallies represents part of that line. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 26th of June. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us for the first few minutes to talk about the Fortnight for Freedom rallies. A little bit later, we'll be joined by Pastor David J. Weber. He's authored a recent article for the Lutheran Synod Quarterly titled Reformations Before the Reformation. We'll talk about the ongoing Reformation of the Church. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. If we get to August 1st and the implementation of the HHS mandate goes off as scheduled, will it be, are the bishops calling for real live civil disobedience?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do on August 1st. You know, I had a priest at a, I invited a priest to our local Tea Party group to talk about religious freedom. So the Tea Partiers are now getting into religious liberty, which they never had been before. But and I asked this question, and he said, well, you know, what civil disobedience is going to look like in that situation is probably that people will just continue operating and not pay the fines and not change their health insurance policies. And, you know, basically tell the federal government, come and get us, you know, come and get your money if that's what you really think you have to do. I hope and pray it doesn't come to that. I don't know what else civil disobedience will look like in this situation, but it's for sure that people rallying now and talking about it now, that's not civil disobedience. That's just freedom of speech. That's just exercising our First Amendment rights there. So we're not there yet to civil disobedience, but I think it could come to that.
It is part of the goal here not just to give voice to the frustration that the bishops and the Catholic faithful and others, many other allies of American Christianity, sense in the HHS mandate, but also to focus the issue because Those who are pushing for the HHS mandate and their allies, largely in the media, continue to say that this is about contraception, it's about birth control. And the response of the bishops has been, no, it's about religious liberty.
Well, I think that's exactly right, that they're trying to focus the issue on religious liberty, because if you allow yourself to be diverted on this issue, a serious line in the sand has been drawn. I mean, basically what they're saying is, American Catholic Church, thanks very much. You are the largest non-governmental provider of social services in the world. Thank you very much for all your fine work. But, the fact is you need to be what we tell you to be, and you need to do it on our terms. And I think anybody who has a mission other than worshiping the government is fearful about such a thing, right? I mean, if you can't run your soup kitchen on your terms, if you can't run your hospital on your terms, if you can't run your school on your terms, then you can't really do the mission, of your organization. And so, I think anybody who's paying attention realizes that that the government has crossed a serious line here in basically trying to take over all of civil society. I mean, that's what this is. The HHS mandate is a hostile takeover of civil society by the government, and all religious people need to be putting their foot down about that. And thankfully, most of them are. I mean, we had a big old prayer meeting for religious liberty at Mission San Diego here last week. Mission San Diego is the very first church built in California by Father Junipero Serra himself, who's considered the founder of California. So in that church that he founded in 1769, we had an evangelical pastor, Jim Garlow, basically say, "We are all Catholics now." And that's the way a lot of people view it, and I think it's absolutely necessary to keep this issue focused on the rights of organizations to pursue their mission the way they see fit.
I promise that I'm not trying to raise your blood pressure, okay, Jennifer? But I have to have you respond to something that President Obama has said on the campaign trail. He said, "We don't need another," and he's referring to the HHS mandate, "we don't need another political fight about ending a woman's right to choose or getting rid of Planned Parenthood or taking away affordable birth control. We don't need that. I want women to control their own health choices. I just want my daughters to have the same economic opportunities as my sons. We're not turning back the clock. We're not going back there." What's your response?
Well, he's out of his mind. That's my response. I mean, for crying out loud, it's not like people can't figure out where to get birth control today. It's not like you're not free unless somebody pays for your birth control. I mean, this is ridiculous. He's the one who's politicized this issue. And the reason he's politicizing it, Todd, this is a very deliberate particular strategy that he's doing here. He has a vision of a world in which sex is normatively sterile. That is, the default position is that every sexual act is a sterile act. That's what he thinks of as a just universe. And, of course, that's a completely unnatural and irrational universe, and it can't be created even with a lot of messing around and effort by the government. You cannot create such a world. But that's what he thinks of as just. That's what he and his Planned Parenthood allies are committed to. And so, in their fantasy world, they have to continually raise the moral stakes all the time to make it look like it's somebody else's fault that they can't achieve this dream world that they've come up with. And so, the reality is they're at war with nature itself, because they see the differences between men and women as being some kind of cosmic conspiracy to keep women oppressed. Rather than saying, how can we help women have their babies and support women and support the family and support those babies? How can we get that done? Instead of talking like that, they are all about neutralizing all the differences between men and women that come about from the fact that women have babies. They're really at war with nature itself, Todd.
We've wondered about the political calculus here on the part of the president, because, of course, he does face re-election challenge in November, and I still haven't been able to figure it out, to tell you the truth. But it seems to me that, at least on this issue, he has managed to galvanize voters that may not normally want to vote together, American Catholics and other American Christians, and a fair number of other people who are concerned about general
freedom and liberty. What do you think?
Well, I think, number one, he underestimated the reaction that he would get. But now that he can plainly see that this is the reaction, he could back down if he wanted to. So that says to me that this is an important objective for him, that it's more important to him to take over this whole segment of society and to imprint his vision of the sexual economy, that is more important to him than even getting health care done. That's more important to him than even getting reelected. That he is doing this, Todd, I think the most logical explanation for his behavior is he is pushing this HHS mandate simply because he wants to and he thinks that he can. And even if he gets, even if he doesn't get reelected, once something is in place and in motion, it's not that easy to get rid of it. You know, he's creating a new set of institutions for implementing his vision of the sexual revolution, and you can't just get rid of it just because you get rid of him. You know, so I think it's a calculus of a different kind than we're used to seeing from a president. He really believes in this stuff, and he really believes that. Now, this is his legacy, and he may have something up his sleeve to where he thinks he's going to get reelected anyhow or remain in power anyhow. I don't know what he has up his sleeve, but I think the truth is that this is what he wants to do, and that's why he's doing it.
With only 30 seconds here, do you hope that the lawsuits, many dozens in different jurisdictions that have been mounted against the HHS mandate, will kind of be the guy riding on the white horse near the end? About 30 seconds here, Jennifer.
Well, I think the lawsuits against the HHS mandate could be the white horse, the man on the white horse rescuing us, but also so could the states that are suing Obamacare and saying that the individual mandate itself is unconstitutional. Either of those things, I think, would rescue us from a big problem. But I think for American Catholics, there's no going back. I mean, Obama and the secular left has shown, they've shown their hand. They've revealed who they really are. And I think that just getting rid of the HHS mandate, even just getting rid of Obamacare, he is not going to wipe out the ill feeling that he has created by this maneuver.
Folks, the Ruth Institute will keep you informed on Fortnight for Freedom. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for the Ruth Institute. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is the founding president of the Ruth Institute. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
You're very welcome, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the ongoing reformation of the church, past and present.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Get 36 hours of tutoring for $36 an hour. Sylvan Learning Center of Creve Coeur, 314-997-3035.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.